It comes from Hosea chapter 2. If you find the book of Ezekiel, Daniel, then you can thumb into the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter number 2. I want to attribute my steering to probably one of the oldest men among Baptist lines today. I don't get to attend a lot of church services because I pastor a church. But I listen to what I believe. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to listen to them. And I listen to a lot of fellows nobody else wants to listen to. And that's okay because some of the crowd don't want to listen to me either. But that's all right. Adrian Rogers was my hero. He's dead and gone now, but his word lives on. But I was listening to some messages from the yesteryears. And Jack Hiles preached a message from Hosea chapter 2, and it touched my life and it touched my heart, and it brought me to something that I need to say to you today. I'm not preaching Dr. Howells' message today. He said one word that speared my soul, and what he said God wanted me to hear. And I am always moved by what goes on in God's men, because it touches my life.
Amen.
And I don't know how you view me today. I don't know what kind of a perspective you have of me. I hope it's the right one. And if it's not too great, I can understand it. I always felt like when God chose me, He chose the bottom of the list. And I'm humbled that He'd even want me. Nevertheless, I will not make apologies for where I stand today, because His grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And I appreciate His word that speaks to my life. Hope I've given you now enough time to find Hosea chapter 2. We always honor God's word in standing. I want you to join me today, if you will. I tried to make aware some of the people. You never know if people are used to your kind of preaching. So Adrian has a friend with her today, and I've already told Nicole. She might want a seat belt, I guess, by now, because I'm a little different than some of the people that she's been around. But I tell you what, I serve the same God that they serve if they're born again. And so I make no apologies for that. Hosea chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse 13. If you found that place, would you say amen? And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forget me, saith the Lord. You can be seated. I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on unfailing love.
Amen. Yeah.
What we read about today is about a lady that lost sight of true love. My perspective of her life is somewhat different. And what I've heard men in the yesteryears say, I do believe that gradually she became the scuff of the earth.
Yes, sir, brother.
I don't believe she was a whore to start with.
That's right, brother. Go ahead, brother.
Of course, if she was, it would not have changed grace. I get a little perturbed when people start twisting the fiber under which my Bible was pinned.
Yes, sir, brother.
I'm not ashamed this morning to talk to you about a God that reached into people that were living dirty and ungodly, and the Lord snatching them, as Jude said, as brands from the fire. God changes lives.
Amen.
What we read about now is about an individual that lost sight of the umbrella of God's love as He was reaching into the life and touching her and showing her how much He cared through her husband, Hosea. Hosea being what we call the prophet. You can call him any way you want to, but when you consider him as a prophet, he is outlined and defined as God's spokesman. She has flattered herself with worldly garments. She has relieved herself by doing everything that the flesh so desired, and everything that the devil prompted her to do.
has left her bankrupt and dirty and ungodly. And the Lord is the only person that can take a person's life that's lived in the trenches. Can I get a witness? He can take a life of a person that's been down and out and discouraged and left bleeding to die. And God would take people like that and save them by his supernatural power. I read about one woman that went to a well one day in the New Testament. She went in an hour when she thought nobody would be there. And when she got there, she found a Jew, the Son of the living God. And the Lord himself looked at her with penetrating eyes of mercy, with hands dripping with divine blood, and said unto her, I know who you are. I want to report to you this morning that God knows exactly the fiber under which we are made. He knows not only where we have been, he knows how we are, and he knows what we need.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I am moved by the fact that God tells us how her life is draped. I see that people all around me, without their own acknowledgement, are people that need Christ more than they think they need him. Their lives have been baited by the powers of darkness. They now live among the slave poles of our society. They have been dipped in worldly theology and they are left with nothing but emptiness. And I want to report in this morning, I know a God up in heaven that can change everything about those kind of people. I believe today that what we read about in the second chapter does nothing short of stimming people to understand how far-reaching the grace of our God is. I want to tell you, he'll take a drunkard off the street and change the bottle that he licks from. He'll take, y'all still with me, you all here, you's with me. I want to tell you today that God is a God of grace and a God of great glory. Now that I've got your attention, let's look at verse 14. Therefore, if your Bible is like mine, there is a small symbol possibly by that 14th verse. It amazes me how God stops time. The commentators notate that when they do this, it produces the thought that changes. I would tell you, the current under which God's working in don't need my mentality. The Lord don't need my help to save anybody. But he said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. I can't push God off on you this morning. I can't make you fall down before the King of Glory and get your sins washed away. But I want to recommend it. I want to tell you today that the Lord changes people that know that they are sinners, and those are the only ones that he changes. Before I get ahead of myself, being I already am, I might as well thumb forward. Amen. Fast forward. Fast forward with me. When we find Gomer, which is the wife of the prophet, we find her bankrupt. Everything looked bright and promising. Everything looked hopeful. That's the way the devil always starts people out, you know. You've got a bright perspective of life. And what you need to do is fulfill life for yourself. Oh, no. That's as far from the truth as you have ever seen it. That's far-fetched as it could ever possibly get. God didn't bring people into existence so they could fulfill the lust of the flesh. For sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I want to tell you that God showed. Why I feel like preaching the old-time way today. When I start thinking about how God would reach so far back to let me become a part of his family and be robed in his glory and know that his word is sounding thunder and his hope of life is eternal, great God Almighty, that excites me.
Yes, amen.
Woo! I tell you right now, I wish part of that crowd that was on the ball field yesterday was here in church, because I seen them little old youngins out there hooping and hollering and a cheerleading. Where's the baby at anyhow? That's messed up, is what that is. But I see them little old youngins and they were out there cheering for them kids of playing ball. And I thought to myself, you know what? We're doing a whole lot of cheering in a whole lot of places. And I want to tell you right now, there's nothing in the world wrong with trying to encourage people. That's what cheerleaders do. But bless God, where are they when they get to church time?
Yes, sir. Tell it, brother.
Got a few of them. I thought about little old Haley I seen standing in this choir, and she was out there. She's the leader of the pack. But she was in church this morning.
Amen.
standing right there put her spear in my heart. I want to tell you right now, these youngins, bless God, getting in church time and singing old-time hymns and old-time Baptist songs, it'll make a difference when they get into adulthood. It'll change their lives.
It will, preacher. Amen. Yeah.
You said, what's she doing? She's cheerleading. She was out there yesterday, and she knows all that stuff. And she's a-popping them hands this way and that way and telling all that stuff. I want to tell you right now, there's nothing wrong with being an encourager. You said, well, I don't believe in that stuff. That's all right. Forget it. It won't make a difference. I told you, forget what you don't like. But bless God, what I preach at Scriptural, you'll hook up with that.
Amen.
Amen. Of course, some Baptists would spit on you if you did anything. Some people don't believe you can do anything. I mean, not one crowd is so starchy, you can't hardly breathe in and breathe out without worrying about whether they thought that was the Baptist way or not.
That's right.
Then one crowd's so liberal.
Preach, brother. Preach. Go ahead.
They believe you can get drunk on Saturday night and sing in the choir on Sunday morning. I don't.
No, sir, brother. It don't work.
Did you hear what I said? I don't believe that way.
I don't either, brother.
And I want to tell you, hey, listen. When I start thinking about Gomer's life, I'm reminded of where the Lord brings him to. Boy, under God, took me a long time to identify that symbol, didn't it? Notice in verse number 14, it is the word therefore. T-H-E-R-E-F-O-R-E. Therefore. Somebody said there's one way to define it. That is, ask one question. What is it therefore? The Bible said in verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. You students are going to have to listen in a hurry. I've got a lot to say in a short time to get there. Sounds like a Duke of Hazzards, don't it? I want you to notice that verse number 14 turns the tide. It brings in hope. Great God, I'm glad that when everything else has gone to pot and everything's drained and depleted and all hope is lost, I'm glad there's a God up in glory that says, I've got everything you need.
Amen.
Verse number 14 gives us the indication of the turning of life and the turning of time and the turning to hope. I've got good news today that the whole world that's left you dying, there's a God up in heaven that controls the world. He put the sun, if you'll preach this, I'll run around the building. He put the sun where it is so it could shine and give off light. I enjoy it. He put the moon where it is so it could shield certain things at times that you and I wouldn't burn up and we could have ease and enjoy living.
Amen. Yes.
People have misinterpreted why God gave us the elements within our solar system. But I'm glad to report in today that God knew what he was doing. Well, I'm having a hard time. There are three instances I want you to consider with me, or three indications, three clarifications, and I want you to listen with me closely this morning. Now, this message got bigger and bigger as the night went on. Somewhere before 4 o'clock, I had been up two or three times. Somewhere before 4 o'clock, I left my bed, took my two pillows that propped me up, went into my couch with my Bible and my notes, and I sat down. And before I looked at one word, I said, God, if you'd just take time enough to show me what you want to show me, after I've studied all week and put all this stuff together and I've tried to make sense out of it, would you just give me the framework that'll make sense to my people? Now, I want to tell you, God did exactly that. He began to open up my life, and he began to show me, had a razor in this hand, and I began to stand in front of the mirror while I was shaving. God began to point out some things that we must consider, some things that we must give God the credit for. I want you to understand this morning that when the Lord came out to verse number 14 in the life of Gomer, just like he did maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday in your life or mine, he had a time designated where he would deal with us. I've got good news today. According to verse number 14, it is the clarification that God is going to deal with Gomer's sin. Now, symbolically or typically, as illustration, what was happening to the prophet Hosea is typical of what is literally taking place with God and his people. I want you to notice that one of the climaxes of this occurrence is the climax of the Lord making a way when everything else has gone nowhere. That's the kind of God I serve. Number one, I said I'd give you the headings. I'm glad God gave me the message. That's how I know it's there. It's ironed in into my soul. I want you to consider the trap of sin is identified. You say, Pastor, what is that? Now, Wednesday, Adrian took little Madeline in there. About every Wednesday when she goes to pick her up, and I always do this. Adrian's 24 years old. You don't like it, that's your problem. She's always called me to tell me where she was so I could pretty much calibrate in my mind when she should arrive where she's headed. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing in the world wrong with parents knowing where their children are. I tell you, the matter of safety. I don't even want my wife going down to the Walmart. The only thing I'm going to have done when I die, I'm going to have her bury me in the Walmart parking lot so three or four times a week she'll come to see me. But it's so dangerous outside. I don't trust nothing anymore. I'm pretty much analytical about everything I do. But I'm here to tell you, when God began to work, he begins to show us, as I would begin to tell you Wednesday, little old Madeline will call me and she'll begin to put in orders. You know, women have a way of doing that. And she'd say, Preachy. I'd say, yeah, baby. She said, can you feed me a peanut butter jelly sandwich? I said, I'll be here while I'm waiting on you, honey, when you get here. Most of the time, my Wednesdays, unless I'm in a hospital, I spend as close to my home in study as I can possibly do. I can't take a whole lot of outside distractions. The truth is, the least little thing sets me on edge. They said they knew I was a preacher by the compression on my face. I'm all tight. When I start preaching, I'm relaxed now. You can't tell it. But bless God, my legs is just as limber. I don't know, but I feel like I could cut a flip right now. I feel better than I did before. She walks through the door, and that little old peanut butter and jelly sandwich is there. Well, I did something unusual to her one day. I've got something called syrup up in the refrigerator, up in the cabinet. And when I was a boy, we used to take Curo syrup and we'd stir it up with that peanut butter. Did y'all ever do that? Mom, tell you, bless God, that'll make your tongue knock your brains out if they don't all get in your mouth at the same time. So I took her, got that little Aunt Jemima syrup. And I thought, I'm going to just see if it'll tease her a little bit to want it. And I took that peanut butter and I hold that thing up. Don't squeeze it now, you'll mess it up. Just let it drip out. And bless God, don't put it all in one big clump. I mean, spread it out. I don't like people to just dab a bunch of salt in my food. Spread it out. I told you I was warped up. I put that stuff on there. I said, Madeline, taste of this and tell me if you like it. That's good. And I thought, yep, that's exactly what I thought. And I put that stuff on there. And you know, you got to be careful what you start because you got to stay with it. And I started putting it all in together. Well, the other day, she called my hand on it. She said, Preachy. I said, yeah, baby. She said, did you put? I said, I sure did. So I put in between that peanut butter and that jelly, I put some of that Aunt Jemima syrup. And all that does is just whet her appetite. Make her want some more of it. What I'm about to tell you now is that verse number 14 is God's way of showing Gomer just how much Hosea loves her. Great God up in heaven. I'm glad God said, I want you to understand one thing. I know how to bring my people home. I want to tell you, I've always been concerned about my children. I'd hate to know my boy was a drunk and my daughter was a harlot. And I believe it'd make me cry myself to sleep at night. But I want to tell you, if a man's got a breath, he ought to be begging God to keep the devil off his family. The trap of sin is declared. The conviction of the Savior is declared. Number three, I love this. I love God changing lives, don't you? The conversion of sinners is the result. And you say, Pastor, what do you really believe God is after in my life? He's after you. Until he's got you, he'll never stop. Are y'all still with me? Until he comes to a place that you understand how much he wants you and loves you and cares for you, you never will fulfill God's purpose.
Notice a few things we ought to give consideration to. What happened in Gomer and Hosea's life was not a figment of the imagination or a dream. It was reality. I want to tell you folks something. Day by day, there's a smoldering fire among the church that believes right. Day by day, things that we used to believe helped us, we've let go of. People don't want too much demand on their lives anymore. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't want anybody telling them what to do. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to tell you what God says you better do. And there is a difference. There's a difference between you thinking that I'm demanding something to you and that I'm just identifying something to you. I'm here to tell you right now, the Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. You can believe it, like it, lump it, thump it, or bump it. The time comes when the Lord will declare that his righteousness is the only thing to take away our sin. Notice first of all, the sin that is identified in the life of Gomer. There's only one way that you can hide the pain of your past, and that is to let God spiritually change your life right now. It is quite evident and true that what Hosea wanted for Gomer, he wanted from the depths of his soul, but he could not force it on her. Number one, God wanted Gomer to love him. Hosea wanted Gomer to love him. She couldn't love him, not alone. She had just enough of his house to keep her down at the house till she got more from the outside than she was willing to take on the inside, and her life became mired by ungodliness and worldliness. If we believe what the earlier verses state to us, the Bible shows us her beauty. The Bible shows us her youthfulness. But when the Lord of glory shows us her now, he identifies she has lost her beauty and she's no longer in adolescence. When the devil gets finished with most people that live to be a ripe age in ungodliness, they have tremendous scars in their life. Is that right? I wish I had gotten saved earlier. How many agree with me? How many people would say in here, I wish I'd have surrendered my life when I was young? Would you hold your hand up? The majority of this congregation. What I'm simply saying to you, that we've got to do everything we can to build an environment that's wholesome for these babies. And listen to me, that is honorable to our God and brings Jesus nigh unto the troubles of their life. The devil's out to grab them and to run them. Number one, I want to tell you young ladies something. You are never more beautiful than you are with your clothes on. Amen. I'm so sick and tired of these boys are telling these young girls, if you love me, you'd let me go ahead and have sex with you. I'm sick of that. And I tell you right now, I realize it's off limits, but if I even got the sniff of some pervert that I thought was trying to take advantage of one of our young ladies, I'd be down his nose. I'd say, boy, get right with God or get out of here. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. You said, well, I tell you, you better be careful. Oh, I won't tell you, you done lost me. I'm too far down the road already. I'm pretty hard-headed. I won't tell you right now, there's a lot of South Carolina stuff in me just won't leave. But I won't tell you what I'm talking about now. It's not about being from South Carolina bred. It's about being heaven-born. Amen. And being heaven-born carries far more weight than this stuff.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I watch it. One of the things that they tell us now as an insurer of our church is know the people that are ministering to your people. People don't want you probing into their life. So you can believe I'm like a bird dog on the trail. Oh, I'm watching. I tell you, I proofread everything. That's why I'm so warped up. The things that we used to could have let go by, we can no longer let go by anymore. Matter of fact, it's my practice. We don't normally leave no one person to conduct business. We generally pair up people. We don't recommend visiting alone. Amen. We don't men visit women by themselves.
Amen. Right.
We don't have men and women here at this church alone. Did y'all hear what I just said? You said, but that's your theology. No, that's God's, because if you keep it wholesome and you keep it pure, you won't have to worry about it after a while.
Amen. You're preaching. Yes, sir. That's good.
I can see Hosea now as he begins to draw closer to this woman. This woman that has gone cold on him. He did not treat her like a dog. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a lot of things I thought was funny when I was younger that I don't find funny now at all.
Yes, sir. That's right.
These little wise cracks that boys make to girls or their wives in their young years, some of it stinks.
Yes, it does.
Having to cut somebody down to make you look good stinks. I don't buy it. I don't conform to it. I don't recommend it. And I try everything I can in a diplomatic manner to try to tell people when I see it, that ain't acceptable.
That's right, brother. Amen.
You cannot accuse Hosea of lacking in his love.
Right.
He loved her. They had three kids born into their home, and I don't have time to develop it, but every one of their names declares something about their life. You know, it's one thing to put question marks by whether somebody cares or not. It's another thing to finally not care.
Yes, it is.
You say, preacher, what's your point? I don't know why it is, but I don't know why people don't care about serving God anymore. We got the greatest problem of people living carelessly that I have ever seen in my life. I'll tell you something. I hope God will give me grace spanned wide enough and grace dropped deep enough that I can always preach the truth, whether they listen or not. I hope that I have the perseverance that is bathed in God enough that I can keep on pressing on when I don't think I can. I want to tell you right now, if there's ever been a time when preachers stood for what's right, we ought to be standing on it right now.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I believe that the trap of sin is evidenced. Number one, I want you to look back in verse 13. The Bible says, "And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them and decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forget me, saith the Lord." I want to show you a couple things. Number one, I want to show you where her energies and her efforts were redirected by her flesh. Now, even though this is symbolic of what has been done between Gomer and Hosea, it is realistic between what God's people, Israel, were doing to him, yes, being God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Would it bother you if part of the time she is kissing on your lips and somebody sitting on the other side, she is kissing on their lips? Boy, we've really drifted. I was watching them old movies just recently, and I was watching these old timers. Now, only us old timers at heart can appreciate this, but when they kissed each other, all they did was kind of. Now they act like they're trying to do a tonsillectomy. You said, "How you know? I watched them." Lord God. That's messed up. Don't get me on that. But I'm telling it right. The trap of sin is evident. She's got her earrings on. I want to tell you, Hollywood's trying to conform our church members. I had that junk let grow out on my face and run out of flea powder. Had to shave it off. I'd been offered some touch of gray, you know, because it's all white. White as your head, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's all white out here, and I thought, Lord God, I looked as old as Grizzly Adams. But you know what? I never did get me a touch of gray. I had a mustache some time. I had a piece of one 15 years old and lived with it till 1990-something, shaved it off and just hadn't grown it back. And that's all right. If you guys got one, that's your business. I liked it. It was all right. I just shaved it off. Didn't have no rhyme or reason in it. I just did. Matter of fact, I don't believe I'm no more godly having shaved that stuff off my face than I was when I had it a week ago last Wednesday. I'm just simply telling you that we've got to be careful about how people calibrate our life. And I started thinking about something. See, I'm a farm boy. I was raised on the farm. My dad was a mechanic. I learned a lot of things. And I've always wondered, even tried to find out and could not find out this morning, who invented a tensioner? Who invented the tensioner? That piece that puts tension on belts. Because it keeps the belt tight. When it begins to wear and age. Is that right? It keeps everything in line and in place. And I thought God knows how we are tailored. And he's put just the right things in our life to keep things in place. And God knows what he's doing. The trap of sin, number one, tried to make Gomer think she had to doll herself up for the world. When really she only had one husband. And his name was Hosea. I've always told that crowd down at my house, I want to tell you something, I'm different. Now I believe if you're good looking, bless God, you ought to shout about it. But just don't make all us other the ugly people look bad. Amen. Now I want to tell you, I'm really weird. That's why I like old westerns. I like them, what do you call them, hoopers for them women's old frocks. They used to put a hoop skirt. They put it up under. I thought that's the first thing I ever laid my eyes on. At least you could tell where the way started and stopped. Yeah. And men, I just thought they just drained. Beautiful. And I want to tell you right now, I don't believe. I'm so sick and tired of this mentality. I don't believe you're going to make her look like she had a toe sack on either.
That's right, brother. Amen.
What's wrong with a woman having a new dress or a new blouse?
That's right, brother.
You got a new rod.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Get him, preacher. Get him. And I want to tell you, like it is, I can see Hosea. He provided what was needed. The Bible would not have given us the love of a man that was desiring for the woman to know that he was the man. I don't understand why men want to act like sissies.
That's right, brother. Amen. Preach it. Nail it down there, brother.
Better not get me on that. They'll throw me out of here. What I'm simply telling you is that the trap of sin, by the way, just because we are not all alike don't mean that you have to categorically brand somebody because they don't chew tobacco and it running out their mouth.
That's right, brother.
I thought I'd throw that in as a freebie.
That's right. That's
you know, everybody wouldn't raise like we were. They a little different. That don't mean they're funny either.
Right.
I just want to let you know where I'm standing now.
Amen.
I'm for right. And I'm against wrong any way you shade it. Amen. If you're going to accuse me of something, just accuse me of being right. Don't accuse me of being a wishy-washy dude. I can see now what happened in Hosea's life was typical of what was happening in the life of God's people. Now, there's a presentation mentioned in this chapter that I did not get to. And he mentions, I've done a study already, at least to some degree. And if the Lord will let me sometimes, I'm going to preach on the valleys.
Amen.
I've got every one of them already printed off.
Amen.
You know, I'm not the laziest preacher you've ever seen. I've done got them all. I've done printed all of them. Every one of those verses that deal with the valleys of. And they have names. And they have personalities. And they have people.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, the valley of Achor was the valley that is presented in Hosea chapter 2. It takes us all the way back to Joshua 7. Where we find that Achan got trapped, like a lot of other people get trapped, in his flesh he thought,
In his reasoning, he thought that maybe it would be all right to take the unwanted thing and take it into his house and hide it in his tent. And God himself judged him and marked him, and they killed him on the account of it.
Let me show you two things while I'm trying to finish, okay? Number one, it is evidenced that Achor was a constant reminder of how far in sin any person can go, regardless of who is around you. Now, I want to tell you, they have tailored certain statements on the lives of ministers. I've been pastor here for 10 years. They say after 10 years, the people take on the personality of its pastor. Well, I've seen some things come through this church you're not going to blame on me.
Amen.
Lord God, it's just messed up, ain't it? But I'm here to tell you right now, for the most part, it's been a joy to my life to be able to try to watch someone grow and give them something that I think provides nutrients and help to them. I've never offered you gimmicks, and I've always gone to the Bible with enthusiasm, and I preach snarling like a bull. And I preached at times broken as a calf, lost in the wilderness from the herd. But I want to tell you, it takes a balance. The sin that trapped Gomer was the sin of fleshly fulfillment. She got dressed up for herself and those she wanted to flatter. I'll tell you something. I am not in this for show. I have no show for you. I'm in this for God.
Amen.
That is my only desire. If I get to the end of the way and God is not pleased, I have been a failure. I have not done my assignment. I have done nothing but waste your time and God's. And I'm here to tell you that no matter where life may lead and no matter how dark life may get, I'm glad there's a God in verse number 14 that can turn everything around. I say this in conclusion, Miss Ruth, if you would just come to the piano, this will be a very stern invitation this morning. I want you to understand one thing with me. God did nothing wrong. God did nothing wrong. We will come to a conclusion that if love could ever be seen, it was seen when God reached for Gomer. Can I fast forward again, being I've messed this up? When she has shamed herself, disgraced her family, and mocked God, God sent Hosea down to the slave market. That's where they took the crowd that would throw their life away and become the stockyard of the world. And when he got down there, he only had a certain amount. By the way, can I just insert something else while I'm on there? It'll always be just the amount you need to get back what's been lost. I want you this morning to agree with me that it can happen to anyone. I've had people to come in through these doors, and man, when I started preaching, they'd amen me and shout me out, and they vanished. I've had people that propped me up and told me how much they loved me, what a good job I'm doing preaching, they walked off and deserted me. Yeah. Let me tell you something, I'm not mad at them this morning. I'm disappointed. I'm not mad at them. See, I don't believe I could preach if I was mad. Do you?
Amen.
Do you? The Bible speaks plainly about bitterness and what it'll do to a person's life. I'm pretty calm this morning. I mean, I feel good in my soul. I can go home, bless God, and tear into that country style steak like a hog. I want you to stand all around the building. I wonder if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to gather myself in that altar because I see the dangers. I see the dangers of letting the world get too close to my life. I wonder if you'd be concerned enough that you would gather in this altar and say, you know, today I want to come and I want to get closer to God and a little bit further away from the world. Would you do that this morning? Would you earnestly come and say, I want things to be different in my life. I've let the world get too close to me, Pastor. I didn't plan on it. I didn't want it to happen. It just happened. And the truth is, it's so subtle. You never know. Is there someone else you'd say, I just want to come. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I promise. I don't intend to bother you at all. But as much distance as possible that you can put between the world and you. Time, we're one of the strongest links in the arm of this fellowship. You prayed more. You encouraged more. You gave more. All of these elements made up who you were. And you're lost. You've lost some of that. Would you ask God to help you reclaim that today? Heads bowed and eyes closed all around this room. I'm not looking.